Good morning. You are tuned to Radio Enoch, the voice of people against Marxism. We are transmitting on a new frequency of 6.243 MHz in the 48 meter band with 1 kilowatt of single sideband. Radio Enoch is the first British broadcast station to transmit single sideband. We hope that the reception of our signal in this mode is more satisfactory than our previous transmissions using amplitude modulation. Radio Enoch is an amateur broadcast station operated by professional engineers and a group of right-wing politicians. Radio Enoch transmits free from interference from socialist politicians and socialist trade union disruptors. Radio Enoch transmits at least once a month, and we now commence our February transmissions to Western Europe and the Soviet socialist-dominated countries of Eastern Europe. You may communicate with Radio Enoch by writing to Radio Enoch, 7 Woodside Grove, Hartburn, Cleveland, England. That is Radio Enoch, 7 Woodside Grove, Hartburn, Cleveland, England. This is Radio Enoch in the fight against Marxism. Marxism is the poison of our society. Remember, socialist Nazism murdered 15 million people. It was stopped 33 years ago. Marxism has murdered 120 million people, and it is still at it. This is Radio Enoch. Radio Enoch, right-wing radio from the United Kingdom, the voice of people against Marxism.
Radio Enoch. Głos ludzi przeciwko marksizmowi. Ta transmisja radiowa przychodzi z Anglii na 48 metrze na krótkich falach. Transmisja ta jest nielegalna tutaj w Anglii, ale mimo wszystko spodziewamy się, że będziemy mogli nadal prowadzić nasz program każdą pierwszą niedzielę miesiąca o godzinie 10 rano. Spodziewamy się, że lubicie ten program. Niefortunnie jednak nie możemy kontynuować nadal w języku polskim, ale jest coś, co możecie dla nas zrobić. Potrzebujemy sprawozdanie od słuchaczy z różnych krajów. Szczególnie miło są widziane listy od ludzi z Polski. Nasz adres będzie podawany pod koniec tych zapowiedzi.
This is the happy summer sound all year round.
Peter Vince, 21-year-old son of Baptist pastor Georgi Vince, has been sentenced in Kiev, in the Soviet Union, to 1 year imprisonment in a labor camp. Peter, a member of the Ukrainian Helsinki Monitoring Group, was found guilty on a charge of parasitism, that is, refusal to work. During December and January, he was detained for 30 days for alleged hooliganism and refusal to work, although by Soviet law, prisoners do not have to work. Rearrested on February the 8th, he was due to be tried on March the 28th. This was postponed to April the 6th because the president of the court could not attend. But the Vims family believed that the real reason was that on that day the court was full of believers. Indeed, when the trial was held, family and friends were barred from attending, and 10 of them, including human rights activist Dr. Andrei Tverbolibov, was taken to a police station. Eyewitnesses at Peter Vims' trial say that the whole thing seems to have been prearranged. It was held in a small room in the court building, not in the usual courtroom on the ground floor, and the room was packed with 50 KGB officers, so that the family had great difficulty gaining entry. When the Vins family were admitted, a scuffle broke out, and two of Peter's sisters were knocked to the ground. Three of Peter's friends, who were to appear as witnesses for him, were arrested before the trial and detained for several days. This, of course, meant they couldn't appear. The defense lawyer made an excellent defense, but he was ignored. Peter, however, was able to exercise his right to address the court at the conclusion of the hearing. He took the opportunity to thank his lawyer, his family and his friends who were outside the courtroom because they could not get in. He drew attention to the threats made in October 1977 when he was told by the KGB to stop his activities or face reprisals. He said that he saw his trial as a direct result of those threats. In summing up, Peter Vince stood to attention and said, "My way is a special one. It is that of my grandfather, of my father, of my grandmother and my mother." The Soviet authorities seem to be obsessed with punishing the Vince family. Georgi Vince, his father, has been in and out of Soviet labor camps for years because of his faith, and at present he is serving 10 years in a Siberian camp. Recently, Peter's 83-year-old grandmother, Lydia, was released from a 3-year jail sentence for her faith in Jesus Christ. His mother, Nadesya, has also served a prison spell, and his grandfather died in a labor camp. Peter's mother, in an emotion-charged phone call to a friend in the West, said it was not a trial but a reprisal. "We, in Friends in the West, deplore the systematic persecution of this dedicated Christian family by the KGB and call for all Christians in America and Canada to stand with them in prayer. P.S. Urgent news has just reached Friends in the West via a dependable source that 21-year-old Peter has been quite savagely beaten up by other prisoners in the quarry of the labor camp where he is incarcerated. It is almost certain that these thugs were assigned to beat up Peter Vince by the KGB. It is a normal terror practice by them. Please pray for him that God will bring him through his latest nightmare." And that was from Between Friends, the newspaper of Friends in the West.
Well, now on Radio Enoch, it is time to read out some letters, and we have received a great many letters this month. Well, that was for our January transmission. We transmit once a month, of course, on Radio Enoch, and this is a February transmission from Radio Enoch with a lot more power now. Anyway, one of our listeners was Thomas Ruger from Bremen in West Germany, and he heard our broadcast on January the 14th, and it wasn't too good, he said. Reception was a bit poor, but he received us quite well on Christmas Day, so I hope you're receiving us well today, Thomas. Anyway, Thomas is 22 years old, and he's studying engineering, and he sent us a very nice QSL card from a German pirate radio station which used to exist, called Radio Partisan. Anyway, nice to know that Radio Enoch has been received fairly well anyway there in Germany, and I think it'll be okay this week. So now we'll get on to the next letter, which also comes from Germany.
And the next letter comes from Reinhold Mardorf. Reinhold lives in Essen in Germany. He sent us a very, very nice picture postcard of the town he lives in. It's a picture of Kettwigerstrasse in Essen. Reinhold is 24 years old and works as a commercial employee. And his hobby since 1969 is DXing. He also goes on to say that he has quite a lot of contact with various pirate stations, various free radio stations and so forth. But as well as that, he also sends us a very good reception report. Good from the point of view that it's a detailed one. We could wish that the reception was somewhat better in Germany there than it is apparently was on this occasion. He also asks us, what does the name Enoch mean? Now, of course, Reinhold, had you lived in England, you would not have needed to ask what Enoch is, because obviously it is a reference to a very famous Enoch in this country, Enoch Powell. We decided to adopt the name as the name of our radio station. We feel that a lot of the views which Enoch Powell holds are correct ones. Therefore, we decided to take the liberty of using his name. I don't think that Mr. Powell knows anything about it. I'm not even sure that he would approve if he did know. But nonetheless, that is the answer to the question. From this follows your second question, although actually in the letter it is put before the Enoch one. My friend told me, you say, that your program has a political format. Well, yes, it has a political format. It is a right-wing format we have, if the word format is correct in that connection. We are right-wingers. We are trying to sway public opinion towards the right, and the right in this case is both the moral right and the political right. Well, anyway, After that little bit of political information then, Reinhold, we'll say thank you for your letter, thank you for your card, thank you for everything you sent to us. Hope to hear from you again, but goodbye for the present.
On 6.243 megahertz in the shortwave 48 meter band, you are tuned to Radio Enoch, right wing radio transmitting from the United Kingdom. If you would like to communicate with Radio Enoch, please write to our address in England, and it is Radio Enoch, Radio Enoch, Number 7, Woodside, Grove, Hartburn, Cleveland, in England. That is Radio Enoch. Radio Echo, November, Oscar, Charlie, Hotel. Number 7, Number 7. Woodside Grove, that's Whiskey, Whiskey, Oscar, 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 Delta, Delta, Sierra, Sierra, India, India, Delta, Delta, Echo, Echo, Woodside, Grove, that's Golf, Golf, Romeo, Romeo, Oscar, Oscar, Victor, Victor, Echo, 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 Grove, Hartburn, Hotel, Hotel, Alpha, Alpha, Romeo, Romeo, Tango, Tango, Bravo, Bravo, Uniform, Uniform, Romeo, Romeo, November, November, Hartburn. In Cleveland, Charlie Charlie, Lima Lima, Echo Echo, Victor Victor, Echo Echo, Lima Lima, Alpha Alpha, November November, Delta Delta, Cleveland, in England. So the address once again is Radio Enoch, 7 Woodside Grove, Hartburn, Cleveland. We'd appreciate any comments on our programs, reception reports, and any other material you have. And if you'd like to send us a tape and express your own political opinion, we'll be willing to play a bit of that on Radio Enoch for you. And if you do send your political opinions into us, it will make the programme all that more interesting. So please help us and send those letters in today. And in return, you'll get a QSL card from Radio Enoch. It has been taking a bit of time to get the QSL cards out. People have been having to wait about a month, but we can now send them out straight away. So you should have it within a week after sending your letter. This is Radio Enoch. And now, here's a message for our Scandinavian listeners.
Herre Radio Enoch, Folkensröstimme åt Marxism. Detta utsändning kommer från England för din 48 meters band. Detta utsändning är laglig i England, men vi hoppas att vi ska kunna fortsätta med utsändningen. Vanligen ska vi utsända var första söndag i månad vid klockan 9. Vi hoppas att ni tycker om programmet. Lyckligen vi inte kan fortsätta längre på svenska. Emellertid finns det någonting som ni kan göra för oss. Vi behöver receptionrapporter från våra lyssnare överallt. Särskilt från Skandinavien. Hisofald, varsågoda och skriva till Radio Enoch och informera oss hur ett utsändning höras till i Skandinavien. Vår adress utsändas vid slutet denna anmälan. Tack så mycket. Vår adress är nummer 7, Woodside Grove, Hartburn, Cleveland. I det är naturligtvis i England.
The next letter, which we have received at Radio Enoch, is from Chris Midgley of West Yorkshire in England. We certainly seem to be getting letters from all the countries anyway. And Chris was very, very helpful. He sent us a tape of our broadcast, and we were able to hear exactly when the interference occurred and what the interference was like, and really it was very helpful. Anyway, we've recorded part of our program onto his cassette and sent it back to him with a small audio letter from ourselves. And if anyone else would like to do that, we'd be very happy to do that for them as well. But I must admit, that was very, very useful, and I'd like to thank Chris very much. Anyway, there's not a lot more to say there, and we'll leave Chris in West Yorkshire now, and we'll get on to the next letter.
Once again, we have another letter. This time it is from an Andrew Linton. And Andrew lives in Tilgate, Crawley, Sussex. Quite a short letter, this one. He seems to be rather puzzled and rather complimentary at the same time about the nature of our programme, because it is so different from other 48-metre stations, he says. He would like some information. Well, I've already explained on the QSL card that we are sending in, station information out to all our QSL contacts. When we can get around to it, but it's likely to be about a month before then. There is no need to write in for this, by the way. If you've ever received a QSL card from us, you will also receive station information when we've got time to get it ready. Well, anyway, Andrew, thanks very much for your letter. It concerned our Christmas Eve broadcast. Hope to hear from you again, but goodbye for the present.
This is Radio Enoch in the 48-metre European band. Radio Enoch is the voice of people against Marxism.
Robert Ralph, the so-called race rebel, is once again on hunger strike in an Oxfordshire prison. Recently convicted of publishing material likely to cause racial hatred, he was sentenced to 15 months imprisonment. Although undoubtedly an extremist in the sense that he holds extreme opinions, Robert Ralph has highlighted a significant attitude among many people in Britain. In this country, a misgiving is steadily gaining ground. It is a misgiving which strikes indiscriminately at all classes, at all ages, at all shades of public opinion. The misgiving is this. Somebody has decided that this country is going to have a far larger proportion of coloured inhabitants in future. We, the people, were not asked whether we wanted this. We, the people, have been told by a great babble of voices that it is good for us, that it improves our culture and etc. We, the people, were told that our social services would collapse without this immigrant labour. We, the people, were warned that to oppose the settlement in this country of a number so huge that the government itself falsifies the figures would be the act of an anti-Christian. We were given to understand that one eye cocked in the wrong direction of immigrants makes us Nazis. We we were given to understand a lot more, all in the same vein, by priest and politician, by trade unionist and do-gooder, by socialist and conservative, in short, by all the powerful organisations, by all the religious organisations, and by all their little hangers-on. And this misgiving has gained ground and has widened its scope. As we come over the years to know the immigrant and to stand aghast at his numbers, we come to know that he is not, on balance, doing anything for this country that he could not do with more common sense for his own. And we come to know that he is not helping our economic problems. We have all seen pictures of him on strike. And neither can we say that he is improving our political scene. The disgraceful events at Lady would alone prove that. Neither can we say that he is improving our educational scene. It is a sore problem to have to teach language, culture, systems, etc. to the little alien, particularly when the little alien returns to a family background utterly unlike ours. We cannot with honesty say that we have seen much evidence of his thirst for knowledge of our culture. Too many salaries and too many vociferous immigrant organizations prove this. But we've come a long way from Robert Ralph. His offense is that he does not understand that successive British governments have been responsible for creating the conditions in which his offense became possible. Robert Ralph doesn't like immigrants, he will say. But we think it is a lot truer to say that Robert Ralph doesn't like immigration. On one of his leaflets, there was a picture of a monkey. Now, we don't know why on earth Robert Ralph chose to use a monkey to illustrate his point. But we like to think that the monkey represented the British public, for assuredly this is the only monkey in the case.
The next letter of today on Radio Enoch comes from... Now, who does it come from? I've got to see. Chris Gibbs. Chris Gibbs of Camberley in Surrey. He writes, Dear Sir, I heard your broadcast of the 31st of December 1978 on a frequency of 6273 kHz. The reception conditions were fair. That's given by the Simpo Code. The severe interference was due to Morse jamming. Now, we rather hope that this jamming wasn't intentional, although we suspect that this is possible. Now, our signal today should be virtually unjammable. We hope if everything's working properly. But we've always got to think that... little men over there in the Soviet Union, the KGB, may decide to jam us, and they do jam a great many stations which come from the West, and since we are opposed to their philosophy, it seems that we may be next in line. Anyway, coming back to the letter, he goes on with many details. The music we played and the various comments we make, anti-socialist talks and a bit about the NF and a bit about BRMB, the programming on BRMB, and really it's quite a good report, very helpful. And I'm afraid that he sent the report to the wrong address to start with, and I'll just give you a quick reminder of the address if you're listening. It's 7 Woodside Grove, Hartburn, Cleveland. Anyway, we got the letter in the end, so that's fine. Thank you, Chris. And one more letter here. This letter's from Ken Baird. From Ayrshire in Scotland. That's yet another country. Radio Enoch really seems to be getting around. And he only heard about 10 minutes of our programme. And that was because he slept in. Anyway, not a very detailed report there, but a very, very good one. I think it's the best one we've had. It's very, very useful indeed. So reception seems to be very good in Scotland. He's given us, well, if anyone knows the Simpo code, he's given us 45444. And that's a marvellous report, so thank you very, very much for that, Ken. Anyway, now on with the rest of the programme. And now it's time for some music on Radio Enoch. This is Radio Enoch on 6.2 143 megahertz in the shortwave 48 meter band, transmitting to Europe. Transmitting to Europe in super quality SSB single sideband. Radio Enoch, transmitting to Europe on 6.243 megahertz in the single sideband mode. Now stand by for our station identification in Italian.
Qui Radio Enoch, la voce del popolo contro marxismo. Trasmettiamo d'Inghilterra sulla banda 48 metri. Questa diffusione è contro la legge qui in Inghilterra, ma malgrado ciò, speriamo di poter continuare. Di solito il nostro programma sarà sull'aria ogni prima domenica nel mese, alle 9 la mattina. Speriamo che volete bene il nostro programma, sfortunatamente non è possibile di continuarlo in italiano. Comunque è qualcosa che potete fare per noi.
Noi bisogniamo sapere come è la recepzione là in Italia. Siccome siamo quasi al limite della nostra potenza trasmettendo così lontano, preghiamo, scrivere a Radio Enoch e facci sapere come va la recepzione là in Italia. Ringraziamovi molto.
This is Radio Enoch, and the address of Radio Enoch is Radio Enoch. That is Radio E-N-O-C-H, Enoch. Number 7, Woodside Grove. That's 7, Woodside, W-O-O-D-S-I-D-E. Grove, G-R-O-V-E. Heartburn, H-A-R-T-B-U-R-N. Heartburn. In Cleveland, C-L-E-V-E-L-A-N-D. In England. So once again, it's Radio Enoch, 7 Woodside Grove, Heartburn, Cleveland. And if you write to us, you'll get a QSL card, if you wish to have one, of course. And later on, you'll be sent an information sheet. This is Radio Enoch transmitting to Europe in the 48-meter band. We apologize for having no medium wave service this week, but it is a bit technically difficult to run that service in addition to the SSB service, since we're running a lot of power at the moment. Anyway, we had a very, 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 very pleasant surprise the other day. Now, it just happened that a couple of people from Italy, a couple of our political allies, happened to be in Paris, in France, during the Christmas holidays, and they just happened to listen to Radio Enoch, and it seems that reception is very good in Paris. Anyway, they're on holiday from Italy, and apparently they're our political allies, and somehow, I just don't know how they did this, but they found our address out, not the 7 Woodside Grove address, but the actual studio address of Radio Enoch, and they sent us a present. In fact, they sent us a very, very nice tape recorder, and we're most surprised to receive that. It must have cost quite a lot of money. Anyway, they're doing a very, very good job there in Italy in fighting communism. Things have gone a lot further there than they have here. And communism is really going there, but I think they're helping to curb it, and things are a bit more violent there, but it may happen here eventually. And we're trying to fight it before it happens. Anyway, thank you very much to our political colleagues there in Italy, and we now have a message in Italian for you.
Due italiani erano in Francia sulle vacanze. Là in Francia loro hanno sentito il nostro programma. Indovinate perciò quello che hanno fatto. Ci hanno regalato un buon magnetofono. Ringraziamo loro dal fondo del cuore. Continuate quel buon lavoro che fate in Italia contro il marxismo. E se avete il tempo, scrivete a Radio Enoch, per favore. Karl Marx was an extreme reactionary who never did a day's work in his life.
One of the worst examples of petty bourgeoisie, Marx never came into any real contact with the working classes, whom he once wrote of as a knot of asses, fools and rogues. He relied on the financial support of Friedrich Engels, who was described by the socialist Guillaume, secretary of the First Internationale, as a rich manufacturer accustomed to regard workmen as machine fodder and cannon fodder. Engels employed sweated labour in his Manchester cotton factories, flagrantly disregarding the factory acts. After being kicked out of Germany, France and Belgium, Marx ended up in Britain, as do so many other foreign parasites. Being incapable of work and unable to sponge any money off his mother, whom he had not seen for 20 years, Marx complained to his friend Engels at the fabulous way money vanishes. But the Marx family did not do too badly. They received, not earned by the way, received £610 in the first 6 months of 1863. Not bad for a champion of the working class. But of course, we shouldn't poke fun. After all, the family had expensive taste. The children, Marx wrote, appear to have inherited a lust for drink from their father. They naturally preferred a bright-coloured mixture. I think, after all, Bordeaux and Port are the best. But poor old Marx. He was constantly persecuted by tradesmen who actually expected to get paid for the goods they provided. He once wrote to Engels, "I owe the landlord £21, ditto the greengrocer, the baker, the newspaperman. These lousy little shopkeepers are a deplorable class." Then his daughter's education became expensive. They have private lessons in the ladies' seminary from an Italian, from Frenchman, a drawing master. "Now I must provide a music fellow." Later, he wrote that the piano man is a brutal hound for demanding payments and summoning Marx in the county court. Marx wrote in another begging letter to Engels, "I live too expensively for my circumstances, and this year we have lived better than usual. But it is the only way by which the children can make connections and enter into relations that will ensure their future. You yourself will be of the opinion that merely from the business point of view, a purely proletarian arrangement would be unfitting." So much for the proletarian revolutionary, the fiery-eyed mission-bearer of the working classes. Marx scorned ordinary people, the proletariat. In London, he kept a maid, the faithful Lenchen, who had come with the family from Germany. Marx reported that in paying for the piano lessons, he had been obliged to pawn the maid's shoes. So this was the real Marx. Anyone who thinks that any of this was made up, by the way, can check in any bookshop dealing with Marx and Engels. It is not writer's imagination, it is fact. Check on it yourselves.
Well, this is your pirate radio station, Radio Enoch. Radio Enoch is an amateur broadcast station, and Radio Enoch is operated by professional engineers and a group of right-wing politicians. Radio Enoch is your right-wing radio station. I would like to remind listeners that the winter 1979 edition of Choice magazine is now out. Choice is an anti-immigration magazine produced by the Dowager Lady Birdwood, and it is available free of charge. And the winter edition carries a story called Journalist's Quicksand, and it concerns the clampdown by the NGA and the NUJ, that's the National the National Graphic Association and the National Union of Journalists, and it's about their clampdown on radio. So you can see what the trade union disruptors do to radio stations, and it also involves the clampdown on the press, which is just as bad. Anyway, for your copy of Choice, please write to Lady Birdwood. Now, the address is 100 Philbeach Gardens, London, SW5. Now, I'm going to spell that out for you. It's 100100 Philbeach, Philbeach, Gardens, Gardens, London. That's London, SW5. London, SW5. So, get that Choice magazine from Lady Birdwood now. Absolutely free and no need for return postage. And as usual, don't forget to tell Lady Birdwood that you heard it on Radio Enoch. Thank you.
Ici Radio Enoch, la voix du peuple contre le marxisme. Cette émission vient d'Angleterre sur la bande 48 mètres. L'émission est contre la loi ici en Angleterre, mais malgré ça, nous espérons de pouvoir continuer et de diffuser notre programme chaque premier dimanche du mois, à 9h le matin. Nous espérons que vous aimez le programme. Malheureusement, ce n'est pas possible de continuer en français. Mais il y a quelque chose que vous pouvez faire pour nous. Il est nécessaire que nous avons un rapport de réception de nos auditeurs partout, et spécialement de nos auditeurs en France. Conséquemment, nous vous prions, écrivez-nous et dites-nous comment les missions se sont là en France. Notre adresse s'en suit au fin de ces annonces. Merci beaucoup.
The address of Radio Enoch is number 7, Woodside Grove, Hartburn, Cleveland, England. That is 7 Woodside Grove, 7 Woodside Whiskey, Oscar, Oscar Delta, Sierra, India, Delta, Echo. Woodside Grove, Golf, Romeo, Oscar, Victor, Echo. Hartburn, Hotel, Alpha, Romeo, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, November. In Cleveland, Charlie, Lima, Echo, Victor, Echo, Lima, Alpha, November, Delta. In England, 7, Woodside Grove, Hartburn, Cleveland, England. Thank you. As usual on Radio Enoch, we have now come to the point where we have to turn the tape over and play the other part. We have got recorded programs at present, and you're listening to Radio Enoch, transmitting to Europe on 6.243 megahertz, and I'm just watching the counter on the tape recorder as I'm recording it at the moment, waiting for all the noughts to show up, and at that time I'll fade out. So I've just got to talk for about 4 seconds more now. 999, here we come, turning over now. Wait just a moment.
With the escalation of IRA terrorism in Britain, it is to be expected that the man in the street will come to question the role of Irish-British relationships. After all, it is a conversation which has become a recurrent feature of recrimination for years. In the contentions of some, if not all Irishmen, it has its roots in the times of Oliver Cromwell.
However, we do not live in the times of Oliver Cromwell, and we see no point whatsoever in pursuing such a theme. We think it more important to define what we mean by Irish as the Irish are today. In this country, the name is sometimes taken to mean a person who was born in Ireland, sometimes taken to indicate a citizen of the Irish Republic, and sometimes to mean someone who is not British. All of these definitions are wrong. All of them represent woolly and muddled thinking, and all of them contribute in some measure, however innocently, to the trouble in Ulster. There are, politically speaking, no Irish citizens at all, because there is no such thing as a conglomerate Irish nation to which they could belong. They are all either citizens of the United Kingdom or citizens of the Aryan Republic, and, saving the technical oddities, none are citizens of both. It is to be assumed that those people born in Erin, citizens of the Erin Republic, consent full-heartedly to being Erin. It is also to be hoped that they appreciate the fact that all people in Erin who are not Erin citizens are foreigners. It is also to be hoped that they know themselves to be citizens of a sovereign, independent republic. They have, in short, a unique identity, citizen of the Republic of Erin. And, of course, the same concept of citizenship is valid in other parts of the world, as indeed it is in the United Kingdom. Thus, inevitably, it must follow that a citizen of Erin, saving the technical oddities referred to previously, cannot be a citizen of the United Kingdom. We are aware that this statement will give mortal offence to very many Erin citizens to very many Erin citizens resident in the United Kingdom, and that it will be attacked as being wrong, mistaken, highly impertinent, or even, God bless us, inhuman. Because now we have said it. A citizen of Erin is a bona fide foreigner in this country. Just as foreign, in fact, as an Albanian or an Eskimo. But in becoming enraged at what we have just said, the Erin citizen is just being swayed by the reflection that if this principle were handled, as such principles normally are, that he might be in danger of losing the honorary full citizenship of the United Kingdom and retaining only his own Erin citizenship with all its attendant disadvantages. We do not suggest that the Erin citizen would be in any danger of losing anything, in fact. He might even be in a position where he might well stand to gain something. However, we are interested mainly in what the British public would gain, and here we suggest that they would gain a clearer understanding of the position, and consequently may perhaps come nearer to a sensible answer to the problems in that part of the United Kingdom known as Ulster. Ulster is fighting a battle, mainly with the British government, to reinforce its identity as a part of the United Kingdom. The loyalist majority in Ulster is not separatist, and it is against falling into the position of being ruled by the Republic. And at this very moment, there is a battle being fought in Ulster by those whose settled aim is to detach it from the United Kingdom and to attach it to the Republic of Erin. This is far more akin to an act of war than the British public overall has been given to understand. The first decisive point of victory will have been reached if and when these forces, operating from an Erin base, manage to force or persuade this country to withdraw its armed forces from the territory of those armed forces. This is the crux of the enemy's campaign in Ulster, and let there be no doubt on this score, the term enemy is the correct one. A course of conduct based on terrorism with the ultimate object of detaching a portion of the territory of one nation and attaching it to the territory of another nation is an act of war. Failure on the part of Her Majesty's government to treat this matter as we have explained is an act either of unbelievable stupidity or an act of dissimulation. Not only does the government fail to do anything about the threats to its sovereign territory, it actually helps to create the impression that it sees some justification in the claims of the enemy. It goes further than that even. It gives hope of eventual victory to the other side. Given an environment in which hope flourishes, the hope that eventual victory will be theirs, there is no hope of solving the problem by negotiation. No negotiation, short of complete handing over of power and authority in Ulster, will satisfy the men who are dedicated to this end. The end wherein the territory of Ulster shall belong to the Republic of Erin. And this is precisely the reason why the citizens of the UK will take significant benefit from defining, albeit only in their own minds at this stage, that the citizen of Erin is a foreigner, and by all definition, a definition known to mankind, can be reasonably supposed to hold opinions on national territory different from our own. It is ironic to reflect that an Erin citizen is competent not only to vote in our elections, local and parliamentary, but also to stand as a candidate. It can be seen from this that it would be conceivable that a Member of Parliament could be elected by a foreign element in this country, and that this elected foreigner could conceivably sway a vote in Parliament on some issue. That issue could quite easily be whether or not we should withdraw our troops from Ulster.
If you would like a sample copy of the right-wing Christian magazine Encounter, you can obtain it from the Christian League of Southern Africa. Just ask for your sample copy of Encounter, and I'll give you the address now. For the anti-Marxist Christian magazine, which is opposed to the World Council of Churches, which is Marxist-orientated, please write to the Christian League of Southern Africa. Now, for short, you can put the CLSA, Charlie Lima, Sierra Alpha, for CLSA, Christian League of Southern Africa, box 8959, box 8959, London, WC1V6XX. That's Whiskey Charlie 1, Victor 6, X-ray, X-ray. So the Christian League of Southern Africa, the CLSA, box 8959, London, WC1V6XX. And remember to say that you heard this advert on Radio Enoch. You are tuned to Radio Enoch on 6.243 MHz, transmitting to Europe in the 48-meter band, with 1 kilowatt of single-side band. Radio Enoch is the first radio station to use SSB, which transmits from the United Kingdom.
Going back in time with the super sound of yesterday.
Allez, venez, Milord, vous asseoir à ma table. Il fait si froid dehors, ici c'est confortable. Laissez-vous faire, Milord, et prenez bien vos aises, vos peines sur mon cœur. Vous connaissez Milord, vous ne m'avez jamais vu. Je ne suis qu'une fille du port, qu'une ombre de la rue. Pourtant, je vous ai frôlé quand vous passiez hier. Vous n'étiez pas peu fière, dame. Le ciel vous comblait. Votre foulard de soie flottant sur vos épaules. Vous aviez le beau rôle, on aurait dit le roi, vous marchiez en vainqueur, bras d'une demoiselle. Mon Dieu, qu'elle était belle. J'en ai froid dans le cœur. Allez, venez, Milord, vous asseoir à ma table. Il fait si froid dehors. Ici, c'est confortable. Laissez-vous faire, Milord. Et prenez bien vos aises, vos peines sur mon cœur. Et vos pieds sur une chaise, je vous connais, Milord. Vous ne m'avez jamais vu. Je ne suis qu'une fille du port, une ombre de la rue. Dire qu'il suffit parfois qu'il y ait un navire pour que tout se déchire. Quand le navire s'en va, il emmenait avec lui la douce aux yeux si tendres qui n'a pas su comprendre qu'elle a brisé votre vie. L'amour, ça fait pleurer, comme quoi l'existence, ça vous donne toutes les chances pour les reprendre après. Allez, venez, Milord, vous avez l'air d'un môme, laissez-vous faire, Milord, venez dans mon royaume, je soigne les remords, je chante. Je chante les Milord qui n'ont pas eu de chance. Regardez-moi, Milord, vous ne m'avez jamais vu. Mais vous pleurez, Milord, ça je l'aurais jamais cru. Eh bien voyons, Milord, souriez-moi, Milord. Mieux que ça, un petit effort. Voilà, c'est ça. Allez, riez, Milord. Allez, chantez, Milord. Ta-da.
The next letter comes from a gentleman who's very, very well known in three radio circles. And no prizes for guessing, it's John Campbell from Okehampton in Devon. And John has been very, very helpful to Radio Enoch. He sent in lots of reports. And unfortunately we didn't send him a QSL card straight away. But we put that right eventually. Anyway, John has sent us a very, very long and interesting letter with lots of political points, which we appreciate very much, and my colleague will go into it in a bit more detail now. But there is one technical inquiry which he made, and he asks about our single sideband. Now, we are transmitting 1 kilowatt PEP, that's peak envelope power, on single sideband. Now, of course, in amplitude modulation terms, well, relative to it, that's quite a considerable power. But the power is measured as a power input, PEP. And it is 1 kilowatt. We were going to run 1.8 kilowatts. But unfortunately, it proved a bit difficult. It needs a lot of batteries to run 1.8 kilowatts. It needs a lot to run one kilowatt, actually. But I think you'll appreciate our point anyway. So thank you very much, John, and we'll continue with your letter now.
Yes, with the comment, the political comment on this letter which John has sent in, there is one paragraph which reads, I heard an uncomplimentary reference to the Irish, or some of them, at one point relatively free from interference. Was this from your announcer directly, or was it a taped extract from some other service, or some other source, I believe the word is? Does Radio Enoch have an answer or a policy as far as the Irish question is concerned? Don't be serious, he says, I'm not Irish. Well, of course, we do have an answer. We do have it can't be called a policy, because a policy is a rather detailed thing. We have merely suggested attitudes, what attitudes might be. We did so in the talk which we gave a few minutes ago. As far as any ad lib sort of comment on the thing is concerned, I would say this. Of course, we don't want to throw the Irish out of the country. We don't want to do anything at them which they wouldn't do to us. But I do suggest that what they have done to us is to have complicated the national scene very, very much in this country by insisting almost upon having citizenship of this country and citizenship of their own. Now, it's something which can quite easily be cleared up. Quite easily cleared up indeed by the British government and by the British people. Radio Enoch says that Irish people should be treated in matters internally political as foreigners. When all said and done, they do have ERA. ERA is a sovereign independent republic. And that being the case, they have all the answers there if they wish to play the citizen. But they shouldn't play it in this country. Now, so great is the misunderstandings concerning what is meant by Irish, I think I'd better repeat what I said earlier on. The people who were born in Ulster are British, because Ulster is British territory. The people who belong to the Republic of Éire are Éireann, and that makes them foreigners in Britain. And that's about all that I can think of to reinforce what I've already said about the Irish. Now, I notice in another paragraph of your letter, you say, with reference to trade unions, slogans are no good. We want a policy. Now, I do agree with you. It is inevitable, however, that in trying to cover as much ground as we do cover in one programme, and I think everybody's fully aware that we've only a limited time in which to do it, that it is a little bit difficult to give a complete answer to anything in the trade union line. However, we are going to run that one in the next programme. We shall give a talk on trade unions, what we think of them, and there will be suggestions, because of course this is something about which we must suggest, even if only because of the urgency of the problem these days, we must suggest answers. Perhaps somebody will come along with the same answers, I don't know. But in the next programme we shall be answering the trade union criticisms of John a little more in detail. Anyway, thanks very much for them. They're very, very, very much to the point, and they're very welcome. In fact, it is just the sort of thing that we want on Radio Enoch. Okay, then, see you next time. John, thanks for your letter.
Yes, thanks once again, John, and we will be writing to you yet again, but we hope that you appreciate that all the political points will be answered on the programme. Of course, you're tuned to Radio Enoch, Radio 3 from Socialist Trade Union Disruption. This is your anti-Marxist radio station. The voice of people against Marxism. And now on Radio Enoch, it's comedy time, and now we've got to have the laugh of the week. Now, I was listening 2 weeks ago in on the 48-metre band, and I heard one radio station. Now, I'm afraid I didn't get the identification of it, but it was mentioning Radio Enoch with reference to a left-wing publication in London. And apparently this left-wing organisation, I didn't catch which one it was, but they've written an article about Radio Enoch, and we're really going to all have a good laugh in a moment about this. They said that Radio Enoch is financed by the South African government, a fascist radio station, they said, financed by the South African government. That really is a laugh. Oh, God, I don't know. Radio Enoch financed by the South African government. Radio Enoch financed by the South African government. Radio Enoch financed by the South African government.
Well, we're still in South Africa, in one sense of the word at least. We have a piece here which was published in the Daily Press. The headline is, Where Black Servants Are Treated as Slaves. And the article goes on. In Africa today, there are still black slaves, but they are enslaved not by whites, but by their fellow blacks. So says Nigerian writer Dilibe Onyema, Eton educated son of the first African judge of the International Court. And he tells me that even lowly Lagos factory hands and clerks living in three-room shanties can afford their own slaves, and his own grandmother pays her slave just £1 per month. In an astonishing attack on the brutality, corruption, greed, filth and chaos of oil-rich modern Nigeria, his own homeland, by the way, Mr. Onyema writes of the houseboy servants he met on a recent trip back to Nigeria and says, to be conscious of these wretched, deprived people was to be reminded with abhorrence of the plight of the black slaves who were dehumanized for 400 years on the plantations of America. He goes on to say, the houseboy's blunders, he says, were liable to punishments with slaps and brutal canings by his master or by the madam. He could have scalding, badly cooked soup thrown in his face with a stream of oaths. He could be abused in a manner not fitting to even animals. The houseboy, by the way, could be between the ages of 10 and perhaps even 30. His only belongings in life are confined to a few tatty clothes, a comb, and maybe a few other irrelevant items. If his master is hungry, he must start cooking immediately, be it 4 in the morning. He mustn't eat until after his master has eaten, and his diet consists largely of his master's leftovers. He is allowed one day off in war once in a blue moon. He sleeps on the kitchen floor, separated from the concrete by a thin mat and protected by a mosquito net. It is difficult to remember, you know, as you read this thing, that Mr. Onyema is writing not of the white Rhodesian masters and their servants, but of black African working men and their equally black servants, who are still called boys even as adults. He adds, our society has no moral right to heap condemnation on the West for the past slavery of Africans. Brutality in modern Nigeria is not confined to the slaves, says Mr. Onyema. Soldiers of the dictatorial military regime have stopped traffic near their barracks, destroying cars and maiming the drivers, he says. Even taxi drivers in Lagos will unmercifully run down pedestrians who might step into the road without warning, even if there is ample time to pull up. Apparently such callousness in Nigeria is widespread. There are many citizens who will pretend not to see a corpse, lest they be somehow implicated in the death. Consequently, dead bodies can occasionally be seen rotting in cars or on the wayside or in marketplaces. There are many policemen who will irritably wave away a complainant with reasons ranging from, look, man, I's got a headache, to I's got to go to the bank and get another policeman. The crimes reported could be of any degree of seriousness. Mr. Onyema claims that when his brother was tending a car accident victim and called for help from a nearby traffic cop, the policeman held up the traffic, commandeered a taxi and drove off. I's got no wish to be involved. Corruption in Nigeria is so widespread, says Mr. Onyema, The traffic police are regularly bribed, and even bank clerks expect a bribe for cashing a cheque. And when he and his white English wife went to the airport to catch an internal flight, they found themselves in a raucous punch-up because even passengers with firm reservations were expected to bribe the airport officials. The bribe might be as much as £95 to obtain a boarding pass. The only Amers and 70 other passengers with reservations lost their seats to unreserved bribers and only caught a later flight by paying £70 in sterling, which the properties would then double on the black market. He writes of a flagrancy of bribery and corruption unequaled anywhere else in the world and says, Nigeria's wealth is fast diminishing and consequently there is a nationwide scramble to grab what is left. He refers to the chaos of black Africa and incompetence and callousness on an unbelievable scale and says, I've always been puzzled over the years by Western press reports praising Nigeria, Africa's most progressive country. But not one Nigerian did I come across who had a word of praise for the country. Nothing works in that country. He writes of power failures two or three times a day. Only one set of working traffic lights in all of Lagos. Water shortages. Very few working telephones. A complete disregard of firm appointments. Shocking hospital conditions and callous treatment of patients, frequently resulting in deaths that could so easily have been prevented. Most Nigerian doctors, he says, are so obsessed with the money-grubbing game and consequently neglectful of the duties that few members of the elite will be treated by them, preferring to fork out a fortune to travel to Europe for treatment. Many Nigerian doctors are quite validly considered dangerous. Of Lagos itself, despite Nigeria's wealth, he describes pitted roads, the putrefying stench of the open gutters, stagnant water, a dead dog rotting by the wayside, its stomach contents spilled out. An immaculately dressed, well-to-do man who could not drive his Mercedes through the front gate because of the rubbish piled on the wayside. As for the future, he foresees the advent of an Iron Man leader, and one fears the lurking fangs of communism. Could Mr. Onyema's startling indictment of Nigeria be accurate? Surely not. After all, next week, most Tory MPs will again condemn the government sanctions vendetta against Ian Smith, even though he is now supported by Rhodesia's black moderates. Mainly because all our political leaders are terrified that oil-rich Nigeria might withdraw its massive funds in London and retaliate against British interests in Nigeria. But surely our political leaders could not be so hypocritical or have descended so low as to be blackmailed in Africa by a military dictatorship of a country as shambolic as that Mr. Onyema describes, where there are still slaves. Or could they? That article, as you may know, was written some time ago, few months ago. And as far as the question, could they, is concerned, they did. They did.
On 6.243 megahertz shortwave, 48 meters, this is Radio Enoch, the voice of people against Marxism. And to follow all that up, here is a message from the Monday Club. The Monday Club of 51 Victoria Street, London, SW1. The Monday Club ask you to support the discontinuation of sanctions against Rhodesia. Sanctions mean lack of sufficient funds for increased education, lack of work for black and white Rhodesians, lack of work for British industry, up to £5 million in 1 year. Encouragement of terrorism in Rhodesia. murder of black Rhodesians by communist guerrillas, the eventual domination of Africa by communism, and the collapse of democratic Western civilization. Please request your MP to vote against the continuation of sanctions in the vote next year. We've missed out this year, I'm afraid. That message was from the Monday Club, 51 Victoria Street, London, SW1. This is Radio Enoch. Well, the record you can hear in the background is a very popular record which a member of our staff brought back from the Soviet Union, and it's pretty horrible. It plays at 33 RPM, it's a single record, and about halfway across the disc, it's about half the radius of the disc, it finishes. It's very, very thick, very, very heavy, and very low output, and that's a level sophistication in the Soviet Union. I was asked to increase my tracking weight, but I haven't bothered to do so. And it sounds all scratchy, and it's really out of date, but this is what the poor buggers in the Soviet Union have got to listen to. No wonder they smuggle records in from the West. I've heard some punk rock records which are preferred to this. Anyway, next letter is from Michael Welsh at 35 Mercer's Road, London. And he sent a reception report to Radio Enoch. Once again, very helpful, but he didn't receive us very well at all, most unfortunately. But he has got a good receiver. He's got a Marconi CR100X service. And I would imagine that he'd be able to receive our SSB transmission this week with great effectiveness. Anyway, thank you very much, Michael, and a QSL card has been sent to you. You should get it in a day or so. One point is about this SSB, we would like your opinions on whether you think that the SSB is a good idea, and whether you like the quality of the SSB transmissions. If you don't, we'll go back to AM, but we think that you're going to like it. It's a new idea anyway, and it's a bit of an experiment this month. Remember, we'll be back in March, by the way. Anyway, we can't put up with any more of that Russian record, but it just shows you what it's like in the Soviet Union. Thank you.
What will happen when the teeming billions of the so-called Third World, driven by unbearable hunger and despair, the inevitable consequences of insensate overpopulation, descend locust-like on the lush lands of the complacent white nations? Jean Raspail has the rare imagination and courage necessary to face this terrifying question head-on. Readers of whatever colour and political persuasion will find in The Camp of the Saints, already a bestseller in France and America, a hypnotically readable novel of compelling power that will disturb, provoke, and horrify them by turns. And so powerful is its impact that once you've read it, you will need brain surgery to forget it. That is the way that the blurb on the cover of a book reads. It is nothing like as good as the book itself. Here's a piece from it. The rough theme of it is that some people from India have decided to get a boat, a big ship, get on it, and come to the West. It causes quite a stir in France, where they eventually land. This is a piece from the book anyway. I'll read it to give you an idea of what it is. Noiselessly, the young man had come up the five little steps from the road onto the terrace, feet bare, hair long and dirty flowered tunic, Hindu collar, Afghan vest. "I've just been down there," he said. "Fantastic. I've been waiting 5 years for something like this." "Are you alone?" said the professor. "So far, yes, except for the ones who were already here. But there's lots more on the way, lots more. They're all coming down. And walking, too.
All the pigs are pulling out and heading north. I didn't see a single car in this direction. Man, they're going to be bushed, but this was too good to miss. Gonna smoke and shoot dope and walk all the way. Make it down here on their feet, not on their butts. The old man looked at him. Did you see the people on the boats, he said. You bet I did. And you think that you're anything like them? Look, your skin is white, you're a Christian, I imagine. You speak our language and you have our accent. You probably even have family hereabouts, don't you? So what? My real family's all the people coming off those boats. Here I am with a million of my brothers and sisters, their fathers and their mothers, and wives if I want them. I'll sleep with the first one that lets me, and I'll give her a baby, a nice dark baby, and after a while I'll melt into the crowd. And the book goes on later, as the professor and the young man get talking. Maybe you're not a bad old guy, said the young man. Smart and refined and everything just right, but you're smug, man, so sure of your place. You're so goddamn sure that you fit right in with everything around you, like this village of yours with its 20 generations of ancestors, just like you. 20 generations without a conscience, without a heart. What a family tree, and now here you are, the last perfect branch. Because you are perfect, and that's why I hate you. That's why I'm going to bring them here tomorrow into your house, the grubbiest ones in the bunch, the grubbiest Indians in the bunch. Here to your house. You're nothing to them, and they all stand all you stand for. Your world doesn't mean a tuppenny damn. They won't even try to understand it. They'll be tired, man, tired and cold, and they'll build a fire with your big wooden door, and they'll crap all over your terrace and wipe their hands on the shelves full of books, and they'll spit out your wine and eat with their fingers from all that nice pewter hanging inside the wall. And they'll squat on the heels and watch your easy chairs go up in smoke. And they'll use your fancy bedsheets to pretty themselves up in. All your things will lose their meaning. That is your meaning, man. What's beautiful won't be. What's useful they'll laugh at. What's useless they won't even bother with. Nothing's going to be worth a thing except maybe a piece of string on the floor. And they'll fight over it and tear the whole damn place apart. Yes, it's gonna be tremendous, so go on, beat it. Sod off. Well, that is the sort of way that the book tends to introduce itself. It is, as I've said, a story of the teeming millions of Asia getting sick of it all in Asia, stealing about thousands and thousands of them with a sort of a crippler's figurehead, a modern day saviour, and coming all the way to Europe and landing, thank God, in France. Sorry for France and all the rest of it, but that's where they land. It's well worth reading, is this book. Well worth reading. It is not, by the way, it's not too easy to get in the bookshops, and so we think you ought to write to the publisher. The publisher of the book, I'll give you the name and address now. The publisher of the book is Sphere Books. That's Sphere, Sphere Books. Cash Sales Department, P.O. Box 11, Falmouth in Cornwall. Sphere Books, Cash Sales Department, P.O. Box 11, Falmouth in Cornwall. I don't know whether the prices are up to date, but it does say... 95 pence. It's 95 pence complete for the whole lot. Now, we shall be doing excerpts from this book in future programmes. We think that it's a very good one. But in the meantime, don't hesitate, write straight away to Sphere Books and get your copy, price 95 pence.
And the reason that book isn't available in bookshops is because left-wingers have been told to go to all their local bookshops and steal the books and then take them home and burn them. So that's why they're not any in your local bookshops. Anyway, that's a sorry state of affairs, but you can write to offer the copy. It's 95 pence inclusive, and you can obtain it from Sphere Books, P.O. Box 11, Falmouth, Cornwall. P.O. Box 11, Falmouth, Cornwall. Right, and it's the Camp of the Saints, by the way. Camp of the Saints by Shang Raspai. And when you write to Sphere Publications for that book, We'd appreciate it if you'd mention that you heard this advert on Radio Enoch. Radio Enoch, the voice of people against Marxism. Well, there's a theme tune in the background, and I'm afraid that does mean that Radio Enoch has now got to close down. Our theme tune, by the way, is coming on again. This has been Radio Enoch transmitting a single sideband transmission on 6.243 megahertz in the 48 meter European band, transmitting to Western Europe and the Soviet socialist dominated countries of Eastern Europe. This has been Radio Enoch, the voice of people against Marxism. And we've got quite a few acknowledgements to make this week. So here we go with a list. All these are people which have helped us to compile this month's programme. First of all, we have Sphere Publications, Radio RSA from South Africa, BBC Radio 4, the Self-Help Organisation, the Sunday Express, the Socialist Worker, Alternative Voice, New Britain, the Choice Organisation and Lady Birdwood, the Monday Club, the Anglo-Rhodesian Society, Friends of Rhodesia, the Christian League for Southern Africa, Friends of the West, People Against Marxism, and last but not least, all our listeners and everyone who sent in helpful reception reports and comments on our programme and all the encouraging remarks you sent in. Anyway, remember, next transmission will be in March on the same frequency, and we expect in single sideband, although it may be in AM. This has been Radio Enoch with 1 kilowatt of single sideband, 1 kilowatt PEP. And now we're going to say goodbye in the various languages, so stand by.
Et maintenant, c'est le temps que nous devons dire adieu à nos auditeurs en France. Adieu. Italas, yes, chas. Poviedzieć adieu. Dosłuchących tam w Polsce. Adieu. Do widzenia. E adesso dobbiamo dire addio ai nostri ascoltatori in Italia. Addio. I numeri vi sia, addio, till vårt lyssnare tam i Scandinavia. Addio.
And just before we go, I must give you the address of Radio Enoch, and that is Radio Enoch. Now, Enoch is Radio, Enoch, E-N-O-C-H. That's Echo November Oscar Charlie Hotel, Radio Enoch, 7 Woodside Grove, Hartburn, Cleveland. Now, it's 7 Woodside, W-O-O-D-S-I-D-E, Woodside Grove, G-R-O-V-E. So that's Whiskey Oscar Oscar Delta Sierra India Delta Echo Grove Golf Romeo Oscar Victor Echo Hartburn Hotel Alpha Romeo Tango Bravo Uniform Romeo November Hartburn Cleveland Charlie Lima Echo Victor Echo Lima Alpha November Delta in England. That's 7 Woodside Grove, Hartburn, Cleveland, in England. Goodbye for now. All the best to you, and keep fighting Marxism until March, please. We'll be back. Goodbye.